is the state of your soul this morning? What is the state of your soul? Today we're going to hear about an incredible woman, an incredible mother, who in her life faced very difficult challenges, who also perseveres and overcomes. Her name is Hannah. This morning we're going to pray, and then we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. So let's pray, and then we'll have the reading of God's holy and awesome and wonderful word. Gracious God, we thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your Son Jesus is found in the pages of this awesome and holy book. Lord, you have spoken through the prophets and apostles and the teachers so that we truly have your word. Lord, guide us today by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. 1 Samuel chapter 1, first 20 verses. There was a certain man from Ramathaim, a Zuphite from the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, son of Jeroham, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. One was called Hannah, and the other, Penina. Penina had children, but Hannah had none. Year after year, this man went up from his town to worship and sacrifice to the Lord Almighty at Shiloh, where Hophni and Phinehas, the two sons of Eli, were priests of the Lord. Whenever the day came for Elkanah to sacrifice, he would give portions of the meat to his wife Penina and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, and the Lord had closed her womb. And because the Lord had closed her womb, her rival kept provoking her in order to irritate her. This went on year after year. Whenever Hannah went up to the house of the Lord, her rival provoked her till she wept and would not eat. Elkanah, her husband, would say to her, "Hannah, why are you weeping? Why don't you eat? Why are you downhearted? Don't I mean more to you than 10 sons? Once, when they had finished eating and drinking in Shiloh, Hannah stood up. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on a chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In bitterness of soul, Hannah wept much and prayed to the Lord. After she made a vow, saying, "O Lord Almighty, if you would only look upon your servant's misery and remember me, and not forget your servant, but give her a son, then I will give him to the Lord for all the days of his life, and no razor will ever be used on his head." As she kept on praying to the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was praying in her heart, and her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. Eli thought she was drunk and said to her, "How long will you keep on getting drunk? Get rid of your wine." "Not so, my lord," Hannah replied. "I am a woman who is deeply troubled. I have not been drinking wine or beer. I was pouring out my soul to the Lord. Do not take your servant for a wicked woman. I have been praying here out of my great anguish and grief." Eli answered, "Go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him." She said, "May your servant find favor in your eyes." Then she went her way and ate something, and her face was no longer downcast. Early the next morning, they arose and worshiped before the Lord, and then went back to their home at Ramah. Elkanah lay with Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. So in the course of time, Hannah conceived and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, saying, "Because I asked the Lord for him." This is the word of the Lord. This morning, we're going to start with a basic question. Why are you here on earth? Why are you here on earth? Some people find purpose in their work. Some people find their purpose in their relationships. Some people find their purpose in hobbies. And maybe others find their purpose in the latest adventure. But Hannah knew her purpose. As a follower of God, she knew that her purpose, when it came down to it, was giving God glory. That was her purpose. Giving God glory. How? How did Hannah feel called to give God glory? Well, Hannah felt that she was called to give God glory by childbirth. Having children who are raised and guided to love the Lord and to seek Him. And that is an incredible, noble task and an incredible purpose. Now, we know that not all women are called to childbearing, but for sure, all men, all women, all children are called to give God glory in all that we do. That's our calling in this world. And we can start off by asking, do you see that as your purpose? Is your purpose here your very reason for being? The reason you're alive, the reason that you're here at first, is to give God glory and to enjoy Him forever. Giving God glory and enjoying Him forever. We should all find our ultimate joy, our ultimate fulfillment in Him and in Him alone. Do you? When we're talking about your purpose, when we're talking about your reason for being, is it, when it comes down to it, giving God glory? Well, this is Hannah's story. And we can think about what we do. We can think about how we help others. We can think about raising good kids. We can talk about teaching and serving and loving, all of these things. We recognize that we are working for the Lord. We're working to give Him glory, pleasing Him and enjoying Him as long as we live. Like I said, that was Hannah's purpose, giving God glory, and she felt called to give God glory through childbearing. Now, Hannah, in her purpose, we see here in this text that she faced three incredible challenges. Three incredible challenges to her purpose. The first big challenge is that she is one of two wives. She is one of two wives. She had to deal with polygamy. Now, certainly we see in Scripture that God allows polygamy, but God is not the author of having multiple wives. It's not God's plan. We can go back to the first book. We can go back to Genesis, the beginning of the Old Testament. And we can see what God's way is. We can see what God's plan is for the human family. Back in Genesis, it says that man would leave his mother and father and be united to his wife, and that together they would become one flesh. God's ideal, man can screw it up, but God's ideal is one man, one woman, one flesh, one relationship. So Hannah, she has to deal with the sin of polygamy. She has to deal with multiple wives. It's a hard thing because it was very prevalent in their culture. There are some cultures around the world today where it's still prevalent, but thankfully, in ours, it has been worked out of the picture and hopefully not returning. Because we can see here how troubling it is for Hannah, how damaging it is for her to have a rivalry in the household. The other wife, Penina, would pick at her and keep picking and picking and picking and picking. Time and time again, she tormented Hannah year after year after year. Hannah had to deal with this at her home. How are you tormented day after day? What do you have to deal with day after day? Where are things in your life? Where are you getting, maybe something's getting picked at and picked at and picked at and picked at? For Hannah, this was a tremendous challenge to her purpose. And for areas of your lives where you are tormented, how has it challenged your purpose to give God glory in all that you do? So that's the first challenge that Hannah faces. Being in a polygamous relationship. Number two, the second challenge we see is that this, all of this picking and being tormented, it took a tremendous toll on her health. And it seemed like nothing could really provide her with much comfort in life. And we find that she is weeping often, that she is not able to eat, and that she is downhearted. Now, I do want to point out that, yes, Elkanah, he has multiple wives, but we can see here in the text that he truly does love Hannah. And we see here that when they go up to Shiloh, when they go to worship and to pray at the temple, that he would provide her with a double portion. So there is love in the home. Elkanah, of course, is not a perfect man, but he does love her. And in his own way, he tells her that it's okay that she doesn't have a son. But it still eats away at her. She really feels called to childbearing, that this is the way that she can give glory to God. And so it eats away at her. The problem still persists. And she is troubled day after day. Day after day. What eats away at you day after day? What things in your life are preventing you from fulfilling your purpose to give glory to God in all of that you do and enjoying Him forever? In what areas of your life do you need perseverance and patience? Maybe it's something that's been done to you. Maybe it's something you got yourself tangled up in. Maybe it's something you have no control over. Maybe it's something you've been waiting on, what seems like forever now. Maybe it's something that continues to rock you to your very core. This is Hannah's life. She's wrapped up in this multiple wives situation, and she's also sees that she has a real calling to childbearing, but it is not happening, and all of this is just eating away at her. Those are the first two challenges. The third one is this. They go to worship at the temple, and like I said, Elkanah is not a perfect man. He has multiple wives, but he does love Hannah, and he is also a worshiping man, and he brings his family to the temple year after year to worship the Lord, so that they are a worshiping family. But what happens to Hannah at the temple? She's rebuked by the priest. How many people have had to deal with a out-of-touch church leader? How many people have had to deal with that? Maybe a pastor said something the wrong way. Maybe an elder was out of touch with what's going on in your life. Hannah is praying. She's weeping at the temple. She has bitterness of soul, all of the struggles that she deals with, and she's praying to herself in her own mind. Her lips are moving, and she's having a real heart-to-heart with the Lord. And then the priest comes up, and this guy can't tell the difference between somebody that's earnestly praying and is drunk. He can't tell the difference. This is an indication for us that this priest is not a great priest. He can't tell the difference between a devoted prayer and somebody being drunk. And he rebukes Hannah and gives her a hard time. This lady, bitterness of soul. Who's been making it worse for you? Who's been making it worse for you? And how have you dealt with it? Hannah? What does she do? If it was me and the priest says something like that, I would run for the hills. I would want nothing to do with the temple. I'd want nothing to do with religion. I'd want nothing to do with God. I would be out of there. But not Hannah. She doesn't run away from the temple. She doesn't run away from God. This isn't the last straw for her. She still recognizes her purpose. She still has her calling in mind, glorifying God in childbearing. She knows that she is called to this. And she is fervent with it. Instead of running away, she lets the priest know that she has been pouring out her soul before the Lord. Like we've been talking about, what challenges have you been facing? And what is your reaction to those challenges? You know, as Christians, as followers of Jesus, who died for us, who has offered us forgiveness of sins, who rose again and is our great King in heaven right now, we can take note from Hannah, her perseverance, and how she overcomes. We can follow Hannah's way to dealing with challenges. What does she do in the face of real life struggles? How does she react? She doesn't run away. She doesn't give up on glorifying God. Instead, she cries out to God from the depths of her heart. Not a half-hearted prayer, not a dull or casual prayer, but really, honestly laying down her concerns before the Lord in prayer. Like Hannah, as Christians who understand that we are called to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever, when we're dealing with challenges, we can get on our knees and we can put in some serious quality time with the Lord, having right heavenly relationship with Him. And we can think to ourselves, what a strong woman, what a strong mother, Hannah. Letting the priest know her prayers and her purpose. The priest Eli must have gotten some nudges from God Almighty and let her know that through her prayer and her persistence, God is going to answer her prayers. And God does. Hannah conceives and she gives birth to a boy. His name is Samuel. And giving glory to God, because that's her purpose, giving glory to God. Giving glory to God, she dedicates Samuel to the Lord. This is an incredible story. An awesome, incredible story. This young boy, Samuel, he ends up living with his mother until he is weaned, until he's able to take care of himself. And when he's old enough, Hannah and Elkanah, they end up dropping him off at the temple for service in the temple. And he works side by side with that same priest who thought that Hannah was drunk. And he ends up being a great and incredible priest to the Lord. Samuel is the one that anoints David king. If you keep on reading through 1 and 2 Samuel, you'll hear all about Samuel the priest. It's a wonderful story. I'd urge you to pick up where we left off, and you'll see more from Hannah, more from Samuel. It is an awesome and wonderful story. The Lord remembered Hannah. The Lord heard her cries, and she gave God all of the glory. I know that there are many people here today who could be dealing with conception issues, or others dealing with spouse issues, or dealing with wayward children, or dealing with an aging parent, or dealing with work, dealing with school, dealing with physical pain, dealing with mental health issues, dealing with suffering, or maybe you're dealing with some broken relationships in your life, and maybe you're having trouble glorifying God and enjoying Him forever. What do? Where do you turn? Like Hannah, you can turn to prayer and worship. You can cry out to God with everything that you're dealing with. And because of the wonderful and saving work of Jesus, God will not forget us. And He will not forsake us. And He will not abandon us. Real life struggles calls for a real life relationship and connection with God in prayer. Like I said, Hannah's story is a powerful and awesome example of faith being worked out. And I would invite you to work out your faith today too, in prayer and worship and crying out to the Lord. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we today thank you for Hannah. We thank you for the reminder of our purpose, that we are here to glorify you and to worship you and to enjoy you forever. We thank you for the strong example that she takes with that. And Lord, today we especially want to be mindful of mothers. Lord, we want to lift up mothers who are dealing with issues of fertility issues, those kinds of things. Lord, we lift those up to you, and we ask for your continued help and guidance. Lord, we want to lift up all mothers today. We want to lift up stepmothers. We want to lift up foster mothers. We want to lift up those who mother other people's kids. Lord, we thank you for this day to remember moms. We thank you for continuing to be close to us. We thank you for guiding us. And Lord, we thank you for the incredible love that you have shown us by sending your son Jesus to die for us on the cross. Lord, we continue to ask for help. In Jesus' name, amen.
But maybe in those hard times when it's hard to find how to worship, maybe this is the song to use. Thank you. go in peace.